Thank you for downloading this message from New Horizon AOG Church. We pray that it inspires you to arise and shine.
Good morning, church. How are we feeling? We feeling good? Are we awake? We awake this morning good. I'm so excited, okay, for this word. It's been brewing on my heart. And yeah, I'm excited. So we're going to get straight into it, straight into the word of God. So I'm going to turn to Hebrews 11:1. And it says this: now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This verse gives us a twofold definition of faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. That's powerful. There is a difference between saying you have faith and living out faith. Okay, there is a formula to faith. Intellectual agreement plus trust equals faith. Believing something to be true, okay? Trust is relying on the fact that it is true, and faith is not just believing God can. Faith is believing and trusting that God will. And you know what? I love Hebrews 11, okay? It is a faith-filled piece of scripture, okay? It's meaty. And you know what? After this verse, you carry on reading, and it says, by faith, Noah, when warned about things not seen, built an ark. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. By faith, even Sarah, who was past childbirth in age, was unable to bear children. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea onto dry land. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. By faith, and it carries on. It is so powerful. You know, I read this and I'm stirred up. I am so stirred up. By faith, people did this. By faith, they did that. You know, I read this and I see that these are Bible heroes. They are faith activators. And this morning, I'm talking about being a faith activator. God is calling us to be faith activators. You know, God is calling us to be his modern day heroes. You know, these are Bible heroes that we can read and we get revelation from. It's inspiring. But God is calling us to be his modern day heroes. Okay? That excites me. You know, I want to ask us a few questions. How do we live out our faith? How do we become faith activators? What does it mean to be a faith activator? And I want to unpack four keys to becoming a faith activator that I feel like God wants to raise up in us this morning. And the first thing is we need to activate our own faith. Maybe it's a matter of activating or reactivating. The more you know God, the more you know nothing is impossible, right? When we know God, we know the heart of God, we know that nothing is impossible. Whatever we have faith for, you know, that it is not impossible because of the heart of God. Yeah. Knowing God and knowing the power and authority you hold activates faith. You know, faith needs to be activated in you to then be activated in other people. If you understand the source, you understand the power, and you know, your faith will grow to new dimensions as you live from your identity in Christ and abide in intimacy with the Father. You know, intimacy with God produces identity, and identity produces faith. Without the revelation of our identity as children of God, it's impossible to operate in a greater measure of faith. We need to understand our identity this morning. Our identity needs to be found in the fact that we are sons and daughters of God. When we abide in a place of intimacy, he will begin to carry his heart. We need to draw near to the Father and receive his heart and then step out in faith. You know, maybe there's a situation this morning that you need to have faith for and believe that God will move because of your identity, because of who you are and the God you serve. Because of that, you can have faith for those situations. You need to activate your faith in those situations. The second key is living out radical faith, okay? And, you know, if you follow Jesus, there's some things that are required that might seem a bit radical, okay? Maybe a bit crazy. You know, God is taking us into a new season of radical faith. I really believe that as a body of Christ. He's taking us into a new season of what faith looks like. You know, radical faith is thoughts and actions that lack reason, but you are trusting fully on what you cannot prove. Faith goes beyond logic. For some of you this morning, that might scare you a little bit. That faith goes beyond logic. You know, it goes beyond what, you know, might come into our brain in a certain situation or how we might naturally react. Faith goes beyond that logic. Faith is the confidence in what we hope for. And, you know, the definition shows us that hope gives power to all kinds of radical, obedient faith. Whatever you are hoping for, you are building confidence in. So I want to ask you, what are you hoping for? What are you hoping for? Because whatever you are hoping for, that is where your confidence is building. Maybe we need to change what we're hoping for. Maybe we need to develop what we're hoping for. Maybe we need to hope for bigger things. We need to believe for bigger things. You know, let's have faith that there's nothing impossible with God, yeah? No sickness, no situation, nothing. Okay, so the task of faith activators is not to question how God moves, but to move with him when he moves. And sometimes the way we think God should move must not interfere with the way he is actually moving. Sometimes we think God should move in a certain way. Maybe some of us that have been Christians for a while, we're like, we've got God sussed. Yeah, we know what he's doing. And we think we know how he should move, which limits our thinking and what limits how he actually moves, okay? Maybe some of us need to actually take a step back and be like, okay, God, you do your thing. I don't know everything. Our role is to move when he moves. As Christians, we can get in the habit of saying, God, use me. Here I am. Here I am, God, use me. I'm ready. And then he speaks and he tells us to do something. And we think, what? Me? And God's like, you just said, here I am. Use me. And now you're saying, God, don't use me. We think sometimes like we can't do it. We need to trust that when God speaks, you know, even in our weakness, he will give us the strength to do it. And also, we need to remember how God met you in your past season, what he did for you. And we need to not let that be our ceiling. Okay, sometimes we're like, God did this for me in my past season. It was great. I had faith for this and he pulled through. That is so good. And it becomes our ceiling. So for our next situation and our next season, we're only believing up to that same level. It's become our ceiling. It's, you know, it's stopping us from believing for more. And God is saying this morning, you know, what I did for you in your past season, that was incredible, you know. You had great faith. It was so good. That was great, but that was great for last season. Now you need to make your last season your current floor. Okay? Your current floor. You've got to raise up that faith. So that last season's, yeah, that was great. God healed that person. You know, God did that. God gave us this building. That is so great. That's not going to be our ceiling. It's going to be our floor. Amen. That is powerful. Look at this building. That's our floor, church. For this current season, for next season, and it goes on. For greater faith, greater measures of faith, that God will do more, God will bring abundance. God will bring healing, will bring favor. Radical faith just keeps growing. When you start to see how faith operates, you start to get more radical. Your decision to step out in faith is a history-making move. And you know, I'm going to tell you a quick story. Some of you might not believe it, but when I was younger, I used to be very shy. Yeah, very shy. And, you know, I wouldn't like really speak in public. I'd find it quite hard. I'd get a bit, and I'd be like, oh no, I'll just stay over there. And, you know, there was this one moment where I was about 15, and we were having a planning meeting for an alternative Halloween party. And I remember being in the planning meeting, and all of a sudden, my youth pastor, Meshach, he said, okay, so who's going to do the preach? Who's going to do the preach? And all of a sudden, I feel something rising up in me. And it's not just, you know, my spirit, it's my hand. And all of a sudden, I've got my hand up. I'm like, what? I look around, no one else's hand's up. I'm like, why is my hand up? And I'm like, it's me. And Meshach's like, I see that hand. And my friends, their eyes are bulging. They're like, Seeley, what are you doing? A bit radical, what are you doing? And he was like, okay, Seeley, you're preaching. You're doing the preach at the alternative Halloween party. And that was the first time I ever preached. And from the second my spirit put my hand up, my calling was activated. And that moment has shaped the rest of my life. That moment has shaped this moment. That's powerful, isn't it? That's powerful. That I had some radical faith that had stirred up in me. I don't know where it came from. My hand was up. That was radical. And radical looks different for everyone. In that moment, that was radical for me. Because I'd never spoken in front of people. I didn't think that was part of what I was meant to do. But God stirred something in me, and that was radical in that moment. Your decision to step out in faith is a history-making moment. Sometimes it has to start with a radical moment. You know, that radical moment where my spirit was stirred up, invested into all the other moments. You know, that really challenges me. That really challenges me. You know, the mandate of the radical faith, yeah? Of that crazy faith that maybe takes us out of our comfort zones, that it doesn't come naturally to us. You know, I was able to live out radical faith in the public because my faith had been activated in the private. You know, just a minute ago when I said about activating our faith, it had been activated in the private with Jesus because I knew who I was. You know, faith invests. When you step out in faith, you are not just investing and fueling your own faith, but you are investing into the kingdom, into other people's faiths. You are being a faith activator. We're called to live out the miraculous. That's cool, isn't it? To believe for more, for God to move, for God to change those situations, for God to heal that person. People living out the miraculous and people led to faith. You know, the kingdom advances through the risky actions of faith activators. Who wants to have risky actions this morning? I want to be a risky faith activator. I don't know about you. God, put me in those situations that might seem a bit radical, that might seem a bit risky, that makes me feel a bit uncomfortable. Lord, put me in those situations. I think that needs to be some of our prayers today. Yeah? For risky actions. You know, we announce the kingdom, drawing attention to what God is already doing beyond the building and among the people. You know, faith positions ready to then deploy. And God has an appointment for you in your field. And he has an anointing for you in your field. So if that be your workplace, your family, he has an appointment for you and an anointing. You know, you are faced with some situations and you think, God, what can I do? How can I change this? Or how is this ever going to change? You know, maybe God has given you some visions, yeah? He's given you a vision for your workplace of what he wants to do in that place. And you think, God, how? there is an anointing and there is an appointment in that situation that you need to step into today, that God is raising up in you. We need to move out in faith. The kingdom comes as we go. That's so exciting, isn't it?
Yeah. Very good.
So we need to live out radical faith. And the third thing is having contagious faith. We need to have contagious faith this morning. Contagious faith is living out your faith in your life, being people seeing how you live your life and people wanting to know Jesus as a result.
Yeah.
Having contagious faith activates faith in others.
Yeah.
I went to a worship conference in summer, and I made friends with this girl. She was really cool. And there was this one session we were in, and Jessie turned to me and she goes, "Seeley, I think God is stirring something up in me." And I'm like, "Oh yeah, what's that? She says, "I think God is telling me to give away my MacBook Air." I was like, "You sure? Your MacBook Air?" She was like, "Yeah. You know, I've blessed to be a blessing. God said, you know, I don't need this anymore. I don't need it. And I've got faith that, you know, this is for a reason, that God has stirred this up in me for a reason."
Yeah.
And you know what? She stepped out and she gave it to this person. And it turns out that person was just about to go to uni. She didn't have a laptop. She needed a laptop. She couldn't afford to have a laptop. She stepped out in faith. She was obedient.
Yeah, and
someone else was blessed. And you know what? In that moment, it was contagious.
Yeah.
It was so contagious. I was stood there. My jaw was open.
Yeah.
I was like, "God, I want to give something away. Lord, I want to give something away. Please, please." I saw it unfold in front of me, and I thought, that is contagious faith right there. People around her, as she handed over her laptop, I was like, "What is going on? I want to know what that's about." Yeah, and you just saw around you people just living contagious faith, you know, believing for stuff, believing for miracles around us. Yeah, there was another person, another one of my friends was believing for healing in her back. She got healed, and then someone else, it was so contagious, someone else saw it and said, "I want some of that. I want it. Give it to me, Lord. Use me. Here I am." It was a domino effect. And people around us, they were giving stuff away. They were being generous. There was healings left, right, and center. It was a madness. It was incredible, all because of contagious faith, all because of one person. And that was only a small part of this whole massive tent. How incredible is that? I want some of that. I want to live in that contagious faith. That in my appointment, you know, in my field, I do something, I step out, not through, you know, my own strength, but through God's strength.
Yeah.
And people around me see how I live. People around us need to see how we live.
Yeah, that's right.
And look at you and think, "I want what you've got."
Yeah.
"I want what you've got. Give it to me. Tell me about it." And we go, "Jesus, how incredible is that?" God wants to stir up contagious faith in us.
Yeah.
Contagious faith challenges you. Because also in that moment, I was challenged. Can I be honest with you? I've also got a MacBook Air, and I thought, "God, if you tell me to give this MacBook Air away, we're going to have a slight problem." And I thought, okay, if I give this away, I'm having faith that someone else is going to bless me with another one. Sometimes we put conditions on our faith, don't we?
Yeah.
We need to remove the conditions.
That's right.
God didn't tell me to give away my laptop.
Yeah.
Still got it. You know, in that moment I said, "Lord, I want my faith to be contagious." And some of you this morning, that is stirring up in you, and you're saying, Lord, I want my faith to be contagious. And he's saying, don't worry. You've got an anointing. Step into it. How you live out your life, people will look at it and they'll see me. Currently, can we say that when we enter a situation, that others are affected positively by our faith? Are people affected positively by our faith? Or do we enter into situations currently where we are overcome and our faith vanishes? I'm just being real with you this morning. What happens when you enter into situations? Does your faith vanish? What happens? Does what we see or feel dictate the outcome? Does our faith rub off on others? Or does their fear and doubt squash our faith? A couple of months ago, one of my friends got married, and for our hen do, we went to Alton Towers because she loves rides. And I love rides, right? Absolutely love them. However, it's a bit unfortunate because I love them, but my body hates them. So I get very motion sick. So you can imagine that's a little bit of an issue when it comes to going on a ride, yeah. And I remember we were going down to a certain part of the park, and everyone was like, let's go on the Smiler, yeah. And I was like, no. And all of a sudden I got a flashback, right, to a few years ago. I went on it, and it's basically the Smiler goes round and round and round, like it's got like 10 loops. It goes insanely fast. It's awful, okay? And I went on it, and I came off, quickly ran to the bathroom, and I redecorated the whole place. I was sick everywhere. It was awful. It was actually disgusting. In that, yeah, sorry. I'm just, you know, I like to give the details. So I'm just building you up. And in that moment, I was like, I am not going on this ride. And next to this ride was Oblivion, right? It's my favorite ride. It's incredible. And it had a 5-minute waiting queue, right? That's incredible. The Smiler had 50 minutes. I was like, I'm winning. I was like, okay, everyone else, you go on the Smiler. I'm just going to keep going on the Oblivion on my own. It's fine. It's going to be great. I love it. It's going to be good. So I queue up. And I thought, this is adulting. I'm going on a ride on my own. This is good. So I queue up, I thought, this is gonna be great. You know, I wasn't in the queue for long, and I was like, okay, this is interesting. I've never experienced a ride on my own before. I definitely recommend it for everyone. And I got to the front of the queue where they assign you to your carriage, and the woman goes, so how many? I said, just me. And she was like, oh, okay, just you? I was like, yeah, just me. Okay. You can go here. They just placed me on the end. And at that moment, knocked my faith a little bit because, you know, she thought it was a bit weird. But I was like, it's fine. I just really like the ride. And I don't want to be sick. So, I sit down, and by the side of me, there's this grown man and his daughter. And it's all good. And we start off in Oblivion. It's like they take you up this massive incline, yeah, reposition you, hang you off the drop, and you're just looking down into the black hole. And then they submerge you. Yeah, it's a very good ride. So, you know, I think I've done this before. I know what's coming. It's going to be great. I'm going to have a great time. Anyway, so we go up. It's taking us up the incline. And all of a sudden, the guy next to me just starts going, ah! Ah! He's a grown man! Grown man, okay? Ah! Get me off! Get me off! Get me off! And I'm like, what's going on? Get me off! Why have I done this? Why have I done this, we're going to drop out. And do you know what? I'll be honest with you. I had quite a lot of faith in this ride, okay, before I got on it. Because I'm like, I've done it before. I know what to expect. It's going to be great. It's going to be absolutely fine. So I had a lot of faith prior, okay? And then this guy is losing the plot. Get me off. Why have I done this to myself? We're going to drop out. The seatbelt's not going to work. I'm going to fall to my death. And you know what? That's the clean version. I can't tell you what he actually said. and so all of a sudden, as we're going up and this guy is losing the plot, there's no other way to put it, my faith starts to vanish. My faith that I did have in the ride starts to go. And I'm not going to lie to you. We're hanging off the edge. I'm looking into the black hole and I'm thinking, okay, it's okay. If I land on some other people, that will be okay. And then I'm like, wait, Celie, you're at the front of the carriage. Okay, that's not going to work. I'm thinking, you know, if I break a few legs, it's fine. And I'm thinking this through. I'm thinking, you know, what's going to happen? My faith is gone in this ride. It's gone. Okay, we're hanging off the edge and we start to plummet into the black hole. And I just pass out. I'm just there like, ah! Next thing I know, they're taking the seatbelt off and they're like, nice to see you, next people through. And I'm like, what happened? And they take photos of you. So I thought, I'm not quite sure. At this moment, what's happened. I was like, my legs, yeah, intact, yeah. And so I'm like, I'm going to check out the photo. And it's literally me and this guy, my best friend. And I'm literally goners. I'm gone. I'm passed out. My head's just hanging there. I even had a dribble patch. I'm joking. I really wish I'd bought the photo to be like, I had passed out. Blacked out. I was gone. Okay? And in that moment, God really spoke to me. I actually came off the ride. I got my notes out, just went on oblivion, just passed out. Like I was gonna forget. The guy's lack of faith and ultimate fear in that moment affected me. So much so, my faith in the ride had gone, and all I had was doubt. In that moment, my faith wasn't contagious. My faith wasn't dictating the atmosphere. What was contagious in that moment was the lack of faith. So I had faith in the ride. And then this guy's voice was the loudest voice. And my faith had gone. As faith activators, we need to be living out of contagious faith. Does every environment that we enter into come subject to the influence of faith carried in our hearts? Are you dictating the atmosphere, or is the atmosphere dictating you? Because faith carries authority. Wherever we go and whatever conditions we face, we need to make sure we are not the ones affected, but we are the ones affecting. Our prayer needs to be, Lord, make my faith contagious. That people will look at how I live and want to know about Jesus. And lastly, my final point is I really believe this morning that God wants to challenge lazy faith. What stops us from being faith activators, from walking in radical, contagious faith, is lazy faith. You know, in the summer, I went on holiday, and it was great. Went to Greece with some of my family, and I remember this one moment where we were with some people, And my mum turned to me and she goes, babe, this is your moment to you know, show love to them, to show Jesus to them. And my reply to her was, no, I'm on holiday. I'm being real with you this morning. I'm on holiday. And I believe that some of us today, our faith is on holiday. And God is saying, son, daughter, it's October. Your faith needs to come off holiday. Your faith needs to come off pause. You know, your radical, contagious faith never goes on holiday. You know, if that is you, you know, you've become lazy about stepping out in faith into your communities, into your fields, into your appointments. Or maybe you've become lazy and you've let your current situation dictate your faith instead of your faith dictating that situation. You know, sometimes during our faith walk, we feel like we just want a day off. And God is saying, no, I've got a lost people out there. There's people that need to know me. You don't have time to be lazy. You don't have time to put your faith on pause. He's saying, look at those lost people. Look at those situations that because you know who you are, because you have me, that your faith can dictate those situations, that your faith can impact those people because you're living out radical, contagious faith. You know, most believers don't live their life on the line. Sometimes we can live our life safe, and through that, we don't get to see the full promises of God. We become too bothered with ourself and our agenda. But we need to live on God's terms and not our terms. You know, being a faith activator might mess up your schedule. It might mess up your schedule. You know, those times where you're like, God might prompt you to go speak to someone or go do something. And you're like, no, I don't have time. I've got to be somewhere. Being a faith activator means our schedule is going to get messed up. That's exciting. I think some of our prayers need to be, Lord, mess up my schedule. That's scary for some of you. You're like, oh, my diary. We need to live on God's terms. You know, the thing inside of you that knows God can, but you won't do the work to make sure it does happen. Some of you have become lazy with the work that you're willing to put in. God has given you promises. God has given you visions. But there's work that you need to do. That's the reality of it. It's not always going to be easy, but there's work that we need to do. There's no room to be lazy. God is saying, wake up. Wake up, church. Wake up. Be willing to mess up your schedule. Be willing to move and go when I say go. To talk when I say talk. He's saying, church, come on. We are called to be faith activators. It's in our DNA. It's who we are as his sons and daughters. You know, challenging lazy faith is what will help us sustain our radical and contagious faith. So we're not just acting in it occasionally. It isn't just a Sunday thing or maybe a Wednesday. Maybe you're thinking radical Wednesdays. But it's a lifestyle. You know, and as I close, I feel like God has been stirring some stuff up in you. That you're here this morning and you're thinking, yeah, I want to activate that faith in me. I want God to activate that faith. And maybe some of you, you're there thinking, I want to live out radical faith. I want to live out contagious faith. And God is saying, I'm going to stretch you. I'm going to position you. I'm going to position you with the right people. You know, because as soon as we are willing to step out and open our mouths, God will fill it. We've just got to do our bit. We've got to step into that faith, knowing that God will, even though you can't see it yet, we've got hope in it, yeah? And some of you this morning, you realize that your faith has been on holiday. And your faith, your lazy faith needs to be challenged. And God wants to remove that. So as I close, do you wanna just stand up? We're gonna pray. We're gonna pray into these areas. You know, as I've been talking, you've been stirred up. You've been challenged. We're gonna pray into those areas. Lord, I just thank you that it is in our DNA to be faith activators, that because we are sons and daughters, that we can carry your faith, we can carry your power, that wherever we are positioned, wherever we go, that people might look at us and we are pointing towards you, Lord. Lord, I pray that this morning, you will activate faith in us, that you will activate that faith, that you will stir it up, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to live out radical, contagious faith. That wherever we go, Lord, that when you speak, that we will move. Wherever you say, go there, we will just step out, Lord, that our brains won't engage, that we'll just do, our spirits will just carry it. And Lord, I just pray that you'll challenge our lazy faith. I pray that that faith that we've put on pause, or those situations that we thought, no, that's not for me to challenge, that's not for me to go into and put faith into those situations. Lord, I just pray that you will challenge that lazy faith, that you will remove that lazy faith, Lord. I thank you that you are calling us to go out, that you are calling us to touch the lost, Lord, to reach the lost. I pray that you will position us, Lord, accordingly. Position us and send us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope that you've enjoyed this message. For any more information or to download our weekly podcast, please go to www.newhorizonchurch.org.uk.